Chapter 11. It was after midnight by the time they had interviewed Jerome Stench Walden. The kid's mother had come to the door drunk and smoking a cigarillo, a charming woman. Jerome had looked embarrassed that he was stuck in a crappy house that smelled of sour beer and fried onions and cheap tobacco. In a clean set of gray sweats, the t-shirt bearing the initials USC in maroon block letters, he looked as incongruous in his setting as Bobby Haas had looked kneeling at his father's feet, trying to comfort him. Not surprisingly, Jerome's story of the after-school and evening adventures matched Bobby Haas's version of events. Kovac didn't believe them, but then he rarely believed anyone. He was too accustomed to being lied to. Everybody lied to the cops, even the innocent. He wouldn't have believed his own grandmother without a corroborating witness. The security videotape from the Government Center parking ramp was on Kovac's desk when they arrived back at the CID offices. They went into a conference room, watched the oft-copied-over tape, and drank some bad coffee. They had run out of desire for conversation on their way in, but had been partners long enough that they were comfortable with their silences. Neither of them said a word as they watched the tape through the first time. The tape was so grainy that if Kovac hadn't known they were looking at Carrie Moore, he couldn't have positively ID'd her. She walked into the camera frame, proceeding toward her car, a black 5-series BMW sedan. She was carrying a handbag slung over one shoulder and a large briefcase that looked heavy, her father's briefcase. She stuck her hand into the purse to dig out car keys and dropped a couple of objects on the floor. Stopping, she set the briefcase down and bent to pick up what she had dropped. At that moment, the assailant came from the left of the screen. Difficult to make out size due to the angle of the camera, which was pointed down from above them. Dressed in jeans and a dark coat with the hood up, impossible to make out a face. He hit her hard across the back with some kind of club or baton, maybe a small baseball bat. The attack was fast and violent, and it looked to Kovac that the assailant was more interested in hurting her than in taking anything. They knew from what Judge Moore had told them that she had managed to set off her car alarm, at which point the perpetrator got off her, took the time to kick her hard in the side, then grabbed up her wallet. He spun around and snatched the briefcase she had set down and ran out of the frame, going for a staircase, Kovac assumed. According to the garage attendant sitting in the pay booth on street level, no car had come squealing down the ramp at the time of the assault in a big hurry to leave. Liska rewound the tape and hit the play button. This sucks. Yeah, what's the point in having these cameras if they're gonna use the tape so many times we might as well be trying to watch cartoons from the moon? They need to go digital. Cost money. Yeah, well, if I had to park in that ramp all day every day, I'd have to take a second mortgage on my house. I think they can afford it. In the morning, one of them would drop the tape with the video geek in the lab and see if she could enhance the images to the point of being useful. But Kovac doubted that would happen. He tossed out the question to get their brains rolling. Who do we look at besides Leopold and Loeb? They seem like decent kids. So did the aforementioned, Kovac pointed out. So did Ted Bundy. Liska shrugged. It'll be hard to corroborate their story. Who would notice either one of them? They're too normal. And there was only one guy in the video. Where's the sidekick? I want the tapes from the entrances to the garage. See if either of their cars rolls in sometime before 6:30. They could have left a vehicle there, taken a staircase down to the street, then come back after all the hoopla to get the car. Make sure the uniform who took down all the tag numbers runs them through the DMV. They could have parked anywhere downtown, Liska said. It would have been stupid to park in that ramp. They're a couple of 17-year-old boys. Forethought is not a big priority at that age. Thanks for the tip. I'm gonna go home and lock my eldest in his room for the next 10 years or so. I think we can rule out Wayne Haas, Kovac said. He's too big to be the guy on the tape, and he doesn't look built for speed either. He's got plenty of motive to hate Judge Moore, but I don't like him for this. Me neither. Could be an ex-con with a grudge, Liska said. Could be any nut job following the doll case. What do we know about the parents of the foster kids? Kovac asked, frowning as that train of thought slipped into his head. The mother's in jail on a narcotics charge. Dad's got a sheet, too, assault being the big prize winner for us. Is he running around loose? He is,